Hi, folks. Nathan Pierce here with Family Protection Ministries. We are joined today with Mr. Mike Schutt of the Worldview Academy, and I'm grateful to have him on as a guest today. So enjoy that for sure. And we will be talking about a range of topics, but we'll definitely be having a great conversation. So I hope you enjoy that. Welcome to the Frontline with FPM, where we talk about California politics, homeschool freedom, parental rights, and the family. I'm your host, Nathan Pierce, and thanks for joining us today. Let's jump right in and see what's going on here on the Frontline. All right, well, thank you so much for joining us, Mike. I'm really glad to have Mike Schutt here from Worldview Academy, and he's going to be talking with us today about, well, worldview and how we as Christians can be thinking about worldview, no matter, you know, what the context is. But I'm really glad to have you here with us, Mike.
Thanks for having me. It's a pleasure to be on. Thanks for asking me, Nathan. Thanks for all you do in the for the kingdom as well. So it's a blessing to me to be here.
All right. Well, again, glad to have you. And I've really appreciated Worldview Academy. Hopefully we'll get into that a little bit here in a couple of minutes, but my kids have definitely learned a bit from Worldview Academy over the years.
Yeah,
my oldest four have been attending there, and I actually, you know, when I was in high school, some of the guys like Bill Jack and Randy Sims, you know, spoke into my life when I was a teenager, and so I've really appreciated them for a long time. But how did you end up with Worldview? Tell us a little bit about you and how you, you know, ended up there through different things. I mean, it wasn't your first job for sure.
Right.
So tell us a little bit about you.
Sure. Well, when I think about you know, the question, when did you first start thinking about worldview? It's such a good question. I was raised in a Christian home, and we had books in our home, right? My family, my parents valued books. We read a lot of fiction. They read to us. We read to one another. And I think that, you know, you look back, and I think that's probably the beginning, you know, reading broadly, reading fiction, reading nonfiction, and reading in the context of a Christian upbringing probably is the thing that made me think that thinking had something to do with being a follower of Jesus. And so when I began to walk with the Lord more seriously toward the end of my college, it just became obvious to me that I went to a public high school, public university, and then a public law school after that. It just became obvious to me in college, and then particularly in law school, that I wasn't getting the straight scoop, that sometimes things that I was being taught or things that were assumed didn't really match up with the way that I knew the world worked, just because I knew what Scripture said about reality. And so it was sort of an instinct as a growing Christian that I'm hearing things that don't really match up with what I know to be true. And so I began to seek out, again, books and people who would talk about things like other worldviews, other legal theories that don't comport with the Christian foundation of reality. And I didn't really have the tools. My education, I was a good student, but I wasn't a diligent student, right? So I didn't seek out great works of Christian thinking, and I didn't have the theological chops really to battle the conflicting worldviews in law school on my own. So I just started looking for folks who were writing in that field, and these were worldview thinkers. Catalogs of worldviews, discussions of Christianity and law for law students, stuff like that. And then, and so then after law school, I went and I practiced law for a little while and eventually went to teach at a Christian law school. And that put a finer point on my calling to think Christianly, to think in accord with a biblical worldview, to help my students think about what it means to practice law. What is law? What does it say about the human person? What are the presuppositions of human law? And so I got an education at the hands of my faculty colleagues at Regent University Law School. It was a blessing to work there and be trained with them. And I took a sabbatical from my on-campus teaching in Virginia Beach to work with the Christian Legal Society and Christian law students around the country. And so I started traveling around trying to resource them, to give them the resources that I wish I had as a law student to help me think Christianly about the world. And so I wrote a book on being a Christian lawyer. I created bibliographies of different books that they might read as Christian law students. And in my travels one day, I met a guy who said, well, you're doing sort of what, wouldn't you call it Christian worldview for law students? I'd say, yeah, that's exactly what I'd call it. He said, have you ever heard of these guys? There's an organization called Worldview Academy, and they do Christian worldview for high school students. And I said, no, I've never heard of that. That sounds incredible. And just so happened, by God's providence, that the main office, Randy Sims, who was the executive director at the time, was right up the road from where I was having this conversation. And I went and I called him and said, hey, I was just talking to a guy that said I might need to know you. And we hit it off, had a bunch of mutual friends. And so he invited me to come talk about law and government from a Christian perspective to high school students at a Worldview Academy summer camp. And I walked into the classroom for the first time and saw a couple hundred Christian teenagers raising their hand, wanting to argue about philosophy and worldview and theology. And I was hooked. And that was in 2002. And I've been teaching every summer since then and became the executive director 5 years ago. So that's me.
Wow.
That's how I got hooked. Yeah. That's how I got hooked into this beautiful thing called Christian.
That's an amazing story. Yeah. Amazing how God orchestrates these things. And your story is just really encouraging that, you know, no matter where you're at or what work you're doing, God can bring you to the next thing. And you did a lot of work, you know, getting to that point in different areas, kind of all around the same worldview that prepared you, unbeknownst to you, that was going to prepare you for the work you're doing now, for sure.
Exactly. Exactly right.
And it's interesting. It's great to see the smile on your face when you think about the kids that are all asking questions at Worldview. There's something about that energy from young people wanting to debate theology or ask questions about philosophical things. Is that one of the things that you kind of get energy from at Worldview?
Absolutely. The students that we have, obviously, they're students who we do week-long camps for high school students. We also do weekend conferences at churches, and we have print and online resources and all the rest. But our signature event is a week-long summer camp for 13 to 18-year-olds. And so these students are students who would come to a week-long camp to talk about Christian worldview. A lot of intense class time. And so there's a self-selection there about the kind of young person who would love this. But seeing 13 to 18-year-olds really press into one another to argue about this stuff with each other and with their small group leaders and with the faculty, that they're engaged in actually engaging the ideas that are out there on philosophy, theology, the arts, totally energizing. Yeah, 100%. As I said, it's what got me hooked. It's what keeps me coming back, is to watch these students. And when I made the transition from teaching law students to teaching high school students, it was seamless. I mean, yeah, maybe I don't use the same kind of jargon, and maybe I have better graphics in my presentations, but but I'm not teaching down to these high school students. And that's the thing that always impressed me about, you mentioned Bill Jack and Randy Sims and Jeff Baldwin, these guys that founded Worldview Academy. They said, we're not teaching down. These students can reach up. They can do it. We need to respect these high school students and junior high students, and the way they can rise to the challenge. And they absolutely do. It's a blast. It's super fun to be in the classroom with, you know, with 100 fired up 13 to 18 year olds who want to argue with you about the nature of law. And it's crazy. It's super fun though.
Yes. So we've been talking about Worldview. You do summer camps, you do weekend conferences. What is Worldview Academy's mission, and what is it that you're hoping to see with these young people? What's the goal there?
Our mission is to teach Christians to think and live in accord with the biblical worldview, so that they can better serve Christ and engage the culture. Right? So the idea is that we are coming alongside families to equip children, to equip our students, their children, to serve Christ better by thinking Christianly about the world and then engaging the culture that's around them. And we carry out that mission, as I said, primarily through week-long summer camps, but also through weekend conferences that we call Christianity and Culture Conferences, for churches, for families to attend. And then we have resources online on the website, video resources and print resources and the like.
Okay, and then the program that you do, I mean, there's a lot of other summer camps out there for people that aren't, familiar with worldview. What's, I guess, different? What's unique about worldview that helps students really engage and understand these things from a Christian worldview?
Yeah, I appreciate you asking that question because that's a hard thing to dis that's a hard thing for parents, for families to see. It's like, well, I know summer camps. My kids go to church camp. It is so different. So I'd say there are three main differences that are kind of the secret sauce of the combination that makes Worldview Academy unique. And that is one, 25 hours of classroom time, right? That this is not a fun junkie camp. There is free time. There are games. There are color competitions. We do a lot of fun stuff, but the idea is training and equipping. And so this is 25 hours in a university classroom with our faculty. Now the lectures are accessible to high school students, but they're energetic, intense, and interactive, right? So high on the Socratic method, where we have students interact on these topics. And so that's one. And the second thing is all of our students are in small groups. They're in groups with students their age and sex with a small group leader. Who's a college student who's been trained and equipped, who's mature, a little farther down the road than they are, to help them unpack the lectures, to help them relax and share with each other, to help them have a little bit of fun, but also to engage each other with these ideas, get to know each other, and get to dig in to what we're teaching them. So that'd be the second thing. And then the third thing is there's a practice element. We have various practicum throughout. Where they are putting into practice the things that they've learned. We teach every week, one of the key lectures is on servant leadership. And then we have a leadership practicum where they're doing kind of a low ropes interactive leadership practicum, putting those things into practice where they can say, oh, here's where I didn't have meekness or integrity. Here's where I took over and I wasn't empowering others, right? So they can think about and practice the things they've learned. We also teach them critical thinking and how to engage people in conversations leading to spiritual conversations. And we send them out on the streets on every Wednesday. We either bus them to a beach or a public park or just the college campus, and they're engaging strangers with the gospel, asking questions, and just engaging random folks with ideas. Again, sharing the gospel with people, but also really putting into practice what they've heard and what they've learned, and they come back from that changed. Camp really changes on Wednesday. Students maybe are thinking, "Wow, I'm really smart for being a Christian," or "I really know this stuff." But when they go out, they realize, "Wait a minute, this is about the love of Christ for a dying world. These people are lost," or maybe they're encouraged by Christians they meet. So Wednesday changes camp. And so to have these various opportunities to do practice, I think is a key part of what makes Worldview Academy different. So it's the lectures, the design of the lectures and the interaction, small groups, and then the practice that happens. And I think that the combination of those three things is what makes Worldview Academy what it is.
Yeah. One of the things that my kids have come away with is just a realization, oh, that issue is talked about in the Bible. God has something to say about that too, and I didn't think about that one before. It seems like that's something that kind of comes out in some of these discussions as well.
Yeah, super good point. Right, when you're thinking about worldview, I mean, the idea is that God claims every square inch, right? As Kuyper said, and every square inch is counterclaimed by Satan. God has something to say about the entire created order and the arts, literature, movies, books, how you read your Bible, how you study the Bible, how you interact with your friends, how you eat, what you think marriage is, what you believe a family to be, law and government, all of these vast areas. God has something to say about it. There's a way to engage these things faithfully and a way to engage them unfaithfully. And I do think that's a big takeaway.
Yeah. Another issue that I think a lot of young people are sort of misinformed or miseducated about as they're growing up in our culture is that, politics, which is one of the areas that I deal with a lot, policy and the legislature, there are maybe counter to what Kuiper said, there are maybe certain areas that God doesn't speak to, or we shouldn't impose our views from a biblical standpoint on politics. But that's not a thing, and it seems like students need to be really challenged with that, and because God does have something to say about various issues with the family, and we certainly here in California deal a lot with the authority structure of the family, just the whole idea of family as God designed it, being challenged all the time. And it seems like that's such a huge issue from a Christian point of view, but from the culture point of view, it's like we're attacking them. How do we teach students to deal with that?
Wow, I hope that's a rhetorical question because I wish I had an answer to it. But you're right. It's a problem, and obviously one of the things we're trying to do is to teach students God has something to say about reality, and politics is part of reality, and you can either assume false things about the way the world works and your politics will be bad, or you can assume true things. Last week I was in Canada talking to the Canadian Legal Fellowship, and I thought, wow, California has it bad, and Canada is in trouble. And these Christian lawyers there are really standing in the gap and saying, no, this the we can't move forward with assisted suicide in Canada. We can't move forward with this devaluing of the human person. And so to be able to teach, first of all, that God really does have something to say about politics, and that how we engage as citizens is part of our Christian calling, and then to go a step further and say, it matters. Some of these questions that we call political are worldview questions that God speaks to directly, that we need to understand. And so learning, reading, training, thinking carefully in areas of public policy. What is the role of the state? What isn't the role of the state? How can we be involved to push back in areas that aren't that are overreach by the state? These are important worldview questions that we need to train our students in. And it's like anything else. We need to get to our students and teach them and train them before they're trained up by the culture. Because the culture will tell them, the surrounding world tells them that their rights come from the state. And you start there, you're already halfway down the hill into the ditch. But no, our rights come from God, and the state's role is to protect those rights. And so, I don't know, fundamentals of the nature of law, the nature of politics is a big place to start with students, I think.
All right. Well, how can people learn more about Worldview Academy? I wanted to make sure that people have that information and any other wrap-up thoughts that you might have.
Great. Well, hey, thanks for that opportunity. Our website is worldview.org, worldview.org. You can find out about our camps and conferences, upcoming events. We have camps because they're designed for younger students. We host them all over the country. In California, we'll have two locations next summer in both San Diego and Sacramento, and we have camps, 14 other camps around the country. So worldview.org is a place to find out about us. So maybe just as a final word, thanks for what you do. Appreciate the work that you're doing. I know I see you out there doing it. Thanks for sending your students, your kids to camp, and it's a joy to interact with them. So blessings in your good work as well, Nathan.
Well, thank you so much, Mike. I appreciate you. Thank you for joining us, and I really appreciate the work you do at Worldview Academy. I think it is vital to spreading the gospel and to educating the next generation of believers, and really not just those people that come to Worldview getting educated, but them being prepared to go out and be multipliers of the truth is an incredible thing that y'all are doing at Worldview Academy. And so I definitely appreciate it and wholeheartedly support everything you guys are doing over there. And I've enjoyed both having my kids attend camp as well as the weekend conferences. And I've been real grateful for that as well.
Well, thanks, Nathan. That's a blessing for you to say. All by God's grace, as you know.
Amen. Amen. All right. Well, thank you so much. And we'll see you again next time. Thanks for joining us for this episode of The Frontline with FPM. For more information about the topics we discuss here, check out Family Protection Ministries at fpmca.org and subscribe to our channel.